Well, let me add my welcome to those that you have already received. And whether you are seeing this teaching through our website, whether you're listening through the iTunes podcast, whether you are going to be seeing this on the north side of our campus or you're here on the south side of the campus, I am so glad that you are with us. Little update, just something to thank God for. Last Wednesday night and last Saturday night, our high school kids on Wednesday night had an invite night. Our middle school kids had an invite night. Between those two different evenings, we had over 320 students present, and we had 114 of them make either first-time or recommitments to Christ. So that's something that is worth hearing about. That's in addition to the about 230 students we had at Chapel on the Road that you've already heard about and the 56 students that made commitments during that gathering. Well, we jump into week number 5 of our Anxious for Nothing series. The year is 1962 when a person you've probably never heard of, I had never heard of, saved us from entering World War III. Vasily Arkhipov was a 36-year-old officer on a Soviet submarine that was part of a fleet that was sent on a secret mission off the coast of Florida and Cuba. And the sailors were becoming increasingly agitated because the Soviet subs were designed primarily to function in the North Atlantic, and so they were designed for cold water. But as they traveled south down to Florida and to Cuba, the water warmed up and the temperatures in the subs reached over 120 degrees, not to mention the extreme danger of the mission that they were on. So everyone in the submarine was on edge. At one point, a patrol of American warships detected the subs off of Florida's coast, and they began to drop depth charges, which are basically underwater bombs, trying to blow the submarines up. The captain of the submarine wanted to blast the American warships into oblivion, which, had he done that, would have most certainly sparked World War III for all of us. But a guy that none of us had ever heard of, named Vasily, kept calm, and he privately asked to talk to his frantic captain, and he talked to him, pulling him aside, convincing him, instead of blowing the American warships out of the water, to surface and then try to talk to the Americans. And so that's what they did. They actually surfaced off the coast of Florida, and the American warships circled around the submarines, and they kept them under surveillance, uncertain of their motives. Well, eventually, after a couple of days, the Soviets decided to dive. They got back in their submarine. They dove back under the water. They eluded the Americans, and they made it back to their home safely. And it was not until 2002 that the American public learned how close we had come to World War III. As the director of the National Security Archives said, the lesson from this event is that a guy named Vasily Arkhipov saved the world. And how did he save the world? By staying calm when everybody else was experiencing the panic of chaos. Now listen, you might not be facing World War III, but there's probably other things that are making you feel frantic, on edge, anxious, pressurized, and ready to lash out. So how do we find calm in a chaotic world? Well, we've been walking our way through an acronym, C-A-L-M. Celebrate God's goodness is the C. Ask for God's help. We're going to talk about that this weekend. Then the L is leave your concerns with God, and the M is meditate on good things. So today, we're going to be asking God for help so that we can be anxious for nothing. And we're going to consider that. But before we do, let's pray. So God, we come to you now, just as we are, with all of our worries, with all of our anxieties, with all of our strain and pressure and stress. Also with all of our joy and thanksgiving, with all of our hope and optimism, with all of our faith and wonder. And God, we ask, would you speak now through your word? Lord, I love your word because we don't have to guess at what you want to say. You've created us with the capacity to understand language so that we can communicate with you. So make your word now living and active among us. God, would you enliven us with your spirit, awaken us so that this isn't just any words, but it's your word to us at this time. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and grab your bulletin that hopefully you got on your way in. You can flip it open to this little center section. You'll see the teaching notes that are there that you can fill out throughout our time together as we go. And the scripture passages are there as well that we will be digging into throughout our time together. Be anxious for nothing. We want that, but how do we make that a reality? Well, the first thing that we have to understand is the difference between worry and wisdom. Because not everything is worry. Some things are just wisdom. You're just being wise. Wisdom is when you lock your doors at night, when you manage your finances and your bodies well, when you drive carefully. That, all of that are just products or actions of wisdom. Worry is what you do after you have planned and prepared and acted properly. See, when we cross from being responsible and wise into being worried and anxious, we've turned our focus and attention away from God and His protective care for us. Philippians 4:4, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." So what does it look like in a practical way to ask God for help, which is the A in that CALM acronym? Three things from God's Word that I want to draw out for us this weekend. The first one is this, is that our calmness comes from acknowledging His nearness. Our calmness comes not just from knowing that He's near, but acknowledging His nearness. In this passage we just read, there's a triple declaration that are all connected. It says, "Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing." We often forget that God is near, and we forget what God has done. And if you forget that God is near, or you forget that God is capable of something that maybe you're not capable of, worry will rise up. This summer I was on vacation with my family, and we were in North Carolina, and there's a creek there called Deep Creek that you can rent tubes and basically walk way up the creek and throw your tube in and kind of come down, and there's a few little rapids, nothing too intense. So we go, and I have my whole family with us, but Micah, my youngest, I was in charge of keeping Micah safe. My wife gave me this look like, if you let him drown, don't come home, like that, you know. So we're going down, and, you know, I'm ahead of him and my tube, and his tube is, like, right behind me a little bit. And I bump into a rock, and I kind of feel like, all right, well, he might do that same thing. I spin my tube around, and I see him hit that rock, only when he hits the rock, because he's much lighter than I am, his tube then flips over. And the last thing that I hear him say as the tube is flipping over on top of his head and he's going down into a little mini rapid that's about waist deep on me, which means that it's going to be hard for him to stand, I hear him call out, "Help, help, I need help." And he has waters in his eyes and he's panicking, and there's kind of this blubbering sound as he says it because water's starting to go in his mouth. Now, understandably, he was anxious for something, right? He was anxious for help, right? Now, if Micah could have seen the entire picture, he wouldn't have been as anxious. Why? Because moments before, I could see what was about to happen. And as I saw him heading into this trouble, I jumped out of my tube, and I was standing ahead of them in the creek, and I'm standing there waist deep off of my tube waiting for him in the middle of the rapid, and right in the middle of his trouble, right when he says, "Help, help," before he got the words, "I need help," out, he just said, "Help, help," I grabbed him up, I flipped his tube over, and I plopped him back on top of the tube. I didn't even have to come running because I was that near. I was already there. I was right there. And so I plop him back on, and then I jump back on my tube, and there's another guy coming by, and he says, "Nice save, Dad." See, anxiety is needless because God is near. When you remember that both that God is near and what God has done, then gentleness is possible. The word gentleness, it means fitting to the occasion, level-headedness, tempered in reaction, and calm. It reasonably takes in the whole picture, looks at the facts of the case in light of the fact that you are not going down that rapid by yourself. The Lord is near. See, worry keeps me focused on my limited resources, but trust keeps me focused on God's abundant resources. One of my favorite quotes on this topic comes from the former Navy SEAL commander, Rourke Denver. He said this. He said that chaos is contagious. Panic is contagious, but so is calm. He said when he would enter into battle, if he would be calm, everybody that was around him would begin to become calm too. But if he was panicking and chaotic, then it only made the chaos worse for everybody around him as well. There is a contagious calm available from the calming nearness of the Spirit of Christ. Psalm 112:7 says this, "The righteous do not fear bad news. They confidently trust the Lord to care for them." After the very first week of this series, I received an email, and I share this email with permission. Here's what the woman wrote to me. She said this, "I heard your message this past Sunday. Early on Monday morning, I received a phone call that I had to come back in and get more views on a recent mammogram that they wanted to check out further. I immediately panicked, but then I remembered your message, and I was so glad that I took notes. So I decided as I ran over to the bulletin to follow it the way that you laid it out, C-A-L-M. I ended up with a decent amount of peace as I went to the imaging center and for a follow-up biopsy. I had to wait 3 days for the results to come back. They were the longest 3 days of my life. I kept telling my worries to stay, like you told your dog to stay and talk your dog to stay. It really gave me peace. I could really feel gratitude in the midst of all of this the past week. Friday morning, I got the call that I do indeed have cancer, but it was caught very early and is very treatable. So I'm waiting to see what God will do in my circumstances, but I can tell you this. I feel blessed that he knew that I would need this message long before I even did, and that I was able to hear it right before I really needed to hear it. And I've seen God in many other ways this past week too. I know he's going to be with me all the rest of the way too. You see, God is near. He's with her right in the middle of the rapids. In fact, whenever I asked her if I could share her email, she said, actually, she said that I could do that, but she said, there's even more ways. And she sent me another email of the ways that she has seen God even since that first email being near to her. She can be calm. Why? Because she's confidently trusting, not that she'll never receive bad news, because that's not what the psalmist says. The psalmist doesn't say the righteous can trust that they will never receive bad news. It says, no, you don't fear bad news because you trust confidently that the Lord will care for you. She can be calm. Why? Because the Lord is near. I can be calm with my rapids. Why? Because the Lord is near. You can be calm in your rapids as well. Why? Because the Lord is near. You are not alone. Panic is contagious, but so is calm. Our calm comes from the nearness of the calmest being in all of the universe being near to us. You see, God is not a distant, far-off God. When God gave himself a name, one of the names that he named himself was Emmanuel, which means God with us. Not God at a distance from us, but God with us. Whatever you face or whatever makes you feel worried or anxious, you need to know that you do not need to face it alone. He is near. And if you can't see his nearness, then what you need to ask him when we talk about asking God for help is, God, would you show me how near you are to me? May his nearness be a source of your calmness. So when it comes to asking God for help, our calmness comes from acknowledging his nearness. The second thing we see is this, that when it comes to asking God for help, find a promise that fits your problem and build a prayer around it. Find a promise that fits your problem and build a prayer around it. God has already given us a promise that will fit almost any problem that we could face in life. If you don't know what God has already promised you in His Word, the Bible, you're missing out on one of the best weapons to help you deal with chaos in your world and discover calm in a chaotic world. When you pray from God's promises into the problems of your life, you will have greater peace in your life. Why? Because it's something that God has already spoken. So you don't have to guess how He feels about it. You don't have to guess if it's His will. You don't have to guess if you're just making it up or this is just kind of positive self-speak. You know this is something God has already promised, and I'm just asking God to stand by His word and His promise. In other words, you go to God and you say, Lord, this is what You said. I'm trusting that. And so now I'm asking Your help because of that promise. Two Sunday nights ago, I took a promise of God and I turned it into a calm prayer asking for God's help. I was here at Fusion, but Bo was scheduled to preach, so I was just out in the lobby greeting people. I was here just in part to see the baptisms, and as well, when I'm not preaching, it's easier for me to spend a little more time lingering with people and talking with them as they're coming in. So I'm welcoming people, and the worship had started, and a guy that I know who's he happens to be a hip-hop artist comes up, and he says, hey, listen, I heard you guys are doing baptisms tonight. She needs to get baptized. I was like, all right. He introduced me. She was his girlfriend. I had never met her before. He seemed stressed as he said it, so I asked a few questions. I said, well, you know, listen, I don't even, like, what's your name? And, you know, are you a Christian? I mean, I'm having these introductory conversations, and he kind of interrupts me a little bit, and he says, no, you don't understand. She's dealing with all sorts of demonic stuff. Now, just because someone says that they're experiencing all sorts of demonic stuff doesn't mean that's actually what is happening. These things call for discernment. So I turned to her, and I said, is what he said true? And she said, yeah, it is. I later found out that her relatives are involved in some sort of Luciferian satanic worship cult that they lead down in Orange County. And her dad had apparently cut off some of her hair when she was a little girl and offered her to Satan as an offering. Now, I mean, it just brings me to tears when I'm hearing this. And so as I'm hearing this and I'm hearing like that all this is going on, I just felt God's spirit like kind of just rise up in me, and this kind of God's spirit and God's word rise up in me. And I looked her in the eyes and I said, listen, it's going to be okay. You're going to be set free tonight. If that's what you want, we're going to be able to help you. Now, she looked right back at me, the first time I've ever met her, anxious and worried and kind of tears on the edge of her eyes, and she says, I'm not so certain you're going to be able to help me. You don't know how deep it is. And I responded, and I said, I know you're not certain, and that's okay, but that's why Jesus brought you here. Let me be clear, I cannot help you, but I know the one who can, and tonight is your night to be set free if that's what you want. Now, so I tell her, I said, listen, we'll gather a prayer team, we'll pray for you afterwards, but for now, why don't you just head on into the service, because the service was going on. So they go into the service. I didn't want them to miss that. Now, where does that type of calm come from, to be able to speak that? It doesn't come from me. I'm not special. It comes from the nearness of Jesus, who said this in Luke 10:17. The 72 disciples returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. And he replied and said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Here's the promise. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. That's a pretty powerful promise to have in your back pocket when someone says there's all sorts of demonic stuff going on. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. So, Lord, your word says that you've given me authority to overcome all the power of the enemy and that nothing is going to harm me. tonight and your authority, what I prayed as she walked in that night. Tonight I prayed, I trust that you overcome the power of the enemy in this woman's life. Now, I'm out in the lobby. She's now in here somewhere in the midst of worship. 10 minutes later, she comes out with tears in her eyes, and her boyfriend's with her, and he says she couldn't handle being in there. She feels too anxious. Now, I've seen this before. People who are deeply connected to the occult have a hard time being in a worship service when the church is worshiping. You think we're just singing songs. We're actually doing war. So this brings me to these kind of like holy reverent tears. So she comes out, and I know the reason that she's coming back out is because the demonic has to flee whenever the church is at worship. Darkness always has a hard time with the worshiping church. Some of the songs we sing, they are literally prayers that we are singing, asking God for help. They're not just a song, they're a prayer. But they're not only a prayer, they're a weapon against darkness. Now back to my friend. I walked outside with her. I said, well, listen, let's just go outside on the courtyard steps there. We'll get some fresh air. She and her boyfriend came out. We talked a little bit. The worship ended. I offered to walk them around the backside of the property and allow them to sit in the upper room. I said, look, you know, well, you can sit in the upper room, the back row, and if you feel nervous or anything, you can leave. And she said, well, I would like that. And so that's what we did. And so then they sat through the rest of the service in the upper room. After that, I made certain that a few pastors and prayer team members would pray for her. And because I know it's not about me and it's all about Jesus, once I knew the team was in place, I looked at one of the pastors and I said, do you feel confident that you're able to handle this with Jesus' help? They said, yes. I said, okay, if things get crazy, give me a call and I'll come back. But tonight is the night that she is going to be set free. And guess what? That's what happened. She started out. Yeah, we can applaud God's work in that. She started out having a hard time even saying the words Holy Spirit or the name Holy Spirit. And she said that as the team was praying for her, she sensed darkness and dark spirits leaving her. The night ended with her confessing that she only wanted Jesus and the Holy Spirit in her life. And the woman who came in saying, I'm not certain you can help, left saying that she felt at peace. And yes, plans are now in motion to baptize her. But we're baptizing her now because she's made a decision to follow Jesus, not as some type of magic holy water to deal with the demonic, because we actually can deal with the demonic under the power of Jesus' promise to us. You have a problem, you need to go know God's promise to you and build a prayer around that. Now, your problem might not be her problem. I hope your problem isn't her problem. I hope you have a better dad than what she has, right? But I guarantee you there is a promise of God that fits the problem you are facing. Maybe your problem is dealing with grief or facing death, and you need to build a promise around Psalm 23:4. God, you promised that you would walk with me through the valley of the shadow of death. I'm in the midst of grief, or I'm facing my own death, even if I've got a terminal illness. I'm asking for your help, that you would be near, that you would walk with me, that your nearness, I could know it and have gentleness from it. Maybe your problem is that people are persecuting you for your faith. God, you said that you would bless me when people mock me and persecute me and lie about me and say all sorts of evil things about me because I'm your follower. So I'm asking for your help. Jesus promised that in Matthew 5:11. Or maybe you are just facing some circumstances that are beyond your control and they're making you anxious and they're making you full of worry. And so you need to know Romans 8:28, and you build a prayer around it. God, you said you would work in all things for the good of those who love you and are called according to your purpose. I'm asking that you would work in my good through all the things that are surrounding me right now. That not only you would work for my good, but you would give me a glimpse of your nearness as you do that. Or maybe for you, what you're facing is you just feel alone. And so you need to build a promise, a prayer out of the promise of Hebrews 13:5. God, you said that you would never leave me. You said you'd never forsake me. Help me sense and know that you are near. Or maybe for you, you're worried about your basic necessities of life. But instead of being worried about it, you remember God's promise to you from Matthew 6, 31 to 33. And so you build a prayer off of that promise. And so you say, listen, God, I don't want to worry about my basic necessities because you, my Heavenly Father, already know all my needs. I'm going to seek first your kingdom above all else. I'm going to live righteously, and you will give me everything I need. Help me seek your kingdom above all else and live righteously and trust you to provide all that I need. Listen, when it comes to asking God for help, pray a prayer built on a promise that has the power to confront the problem that you're facing. Don't just pray generic prayers. Pray specific prayers. And that brings us to the third point I want to make, which is this. Make it a specific prayer request. Be anxious for nothing, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. When we pray generic prayers, I'm convinced that we have a hard time seeing God at work, because it's so generic that it's hard for us to see any specific result. If we say, God bless me, or God help me, it's pretty hard for us to see God blessing me or helping me, because we could think, oh, well, you know, that's just kind of the way life is, and it just worked out well. 3 weekends ago, I had a young guy come to me after the service. The first thing he told me was this: I just gave my life to Christ for the first time when you invited us to do that. We are in the midst of God right now, for whatever reason, bringing more people to Christ through this church than at any other time I can imagine and remember. We've actually had more people come to Christ in the last 14 days than any other 14-day stretch that I know of, including Easter's. And I don't even know why it's happening. Maybe you're praying and I'm praying and that's why God's doing it, but keep praying. First thing he said was, I gave my life to Christ for the first time when you invited us to do that, so I wanted to let you know. The second thing he said was this: the last 3 weeks I've been unable to sleep through the night. Can you just pray about that? So I said to him, sure, we can pray about that. How about this? Let's pray together. And what are you specifically asking? And he was like, well, I don't really know. And I said, well, you know, if God's right here right now, if he's near, what would you want? What would you ask him specifically? And he ended up saying, well, I guess I would pray that, you know, he would help me some. I said, I'll tell you what, let's make it more specific. Why don't we specifically pray that you're able to sleep through the night, since that's what you'd said? And then check back with me next week. So we prayed. And because he had made a decision to follow Jesus, I wanted to get him a new believer's Bible and a devotional to help him in his new life with Christ. Now, I have never specifically read this devotional before. One of our other pastors had vouched for it, so we often give it to new believers. And as I opened up the devotional that I had never opened before to show him kind of how it works, I flipped to the opening page, and here's what it said in capital letters. I don't know if we have the picture. It all started with a sleepless night. I mean, literally, he's like, do you see that? I'm like, I do see that. I see that. I see that God is at work. Following week, he came back, checked in with me, and he came with a huge smile. He said, Tom, it's been 7 nights, and I've been able to sleep through all 7 of them. When you ask God for help, make it a specific prayer request. You see, a specific prayer request is a serious prayer request. You know, if someone says to you, hey, listen, you and I should get together sometime and get lunch, you know that they're not really that serious about it, right? But if they say to you, they pull out their phone and they say, listen, can we get lunch next Wednesday at noon at the pizza shop at this location? You know that they're pretty sincere because it's specific. See, when we offer specific prayer requests, God knows the same. But also, specific prayer requests give us the opportunity to see God at work. And so when we see God respond to specific prayer requests in specific ways, our faith then grows. Our faith grows that he's near and that he hears us. You see, I actually, in my journal, I actually write down my specific prayer requests. And I write them down, and then whenever they're answered, when I've seen them answered, I just underline them. And every 2 to 3 months, I set aside time in the morning. I pick out a Saturday morning where I've got a little extra time, and I get a good cup of coffee, and I sit there, and I just flip back through the last 2 to 3 months, and I look at all of these underlined, specific prayer requests that God has answered. And as I do that, you can imagine, right? I mean, if you're doing that, that makes you think, man, he's answered this one and this one and this one and this one and this one. Now, that doesn't mean that he's answered every single prayer request in a positive way. There are some that I'm still waiting for God to either answer. Some of them he might say no to. Some of them he might say, I'm working it out in my timing. But when I look at so many of them underlined with his specific answers, that gives me greater faith to pray specific prayers. Specific prayers not only let us see God at work, but it also creates a lighter load for us. Many of our anxieties are threatening because they are vague and undefined. When your anxieties are vague and undefined, you have kind of a low level or maybe medium level anxiety in your life that begins to bleed out and affect every area of your life rather than maybe the one articulated area where you legitimately have an area to be worried about. But when we make it specific, we bring it down to size. As Max Lucado says in his book, it's one thing to pray, Lord, bless my meeting. It's quite another thing to pray like this. Lord, I have a meeting at 2 p.m. with my supervisor tomorrow. She intimidates me. Would you please give me a spirit of peace so that I can sleep well tonight? I'm afraid that she's going to ask me tough questions I don't know how to answer. Will you give me wisdom so that I can enter the meeting well prepared? But also trust you to give me the best way to answer any curveball questions. Father, give her a soft heart towards me and give me a generous spirit towards her so that we can have a productive conversation in a way that your name is honored. You see, when you do that, you have reduced the problem to a prayer-sized challenge. Let's pray. God, your word says, let your gentleness, your calmness be evident to all. Why can we do that? Because the Lord is near. When the Lord is near, we can be anxious for nothing. But in every situation, with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, we can present our requests to God. So what is the Lord saying to you right now through this message? Maybe for some of you, it's just that you need to, again, recognize, or for the first time, recognize that your calmness comes from acknowledging his nearness. Maybe right now, you just need to say, God, regardless of how I feel, I trust that you are near me, that you're not far off, that you're close by right now. Let his calm become contagious in your life. See, God never promises us in his word that we won't have hard things come our way. Like my friend who was diagnosed with cancer, trouble will come. But God can give you a peace that surpasses understanding. Just because trouble has come your way doesn't mean that God is far away. He is near. For others of you, maybe right now you need to just ask God to remind you of a promise of God that fits with a promise that you're facing. And you need to turn that promise into a prayer. I gave you a few of the promises of God. That if you are facing grief, that he is with you even in the valley of the shadow of death. That he promises he'll never leave you or forsake you. That he works for your good in all things. That God can provide for you. That you don't have to fear bad news. That he will bless you when you are persecuted for your faith. You see, when I was younger in the faith, I used to worry about how to handle the demonic. Like there was some secret formula or something that I had to learn. Here's the formula. You ready? Here's the formula. Jesus and his authority. That's the formula. But there are many more promises. That's why you need to keep growing and knowing the promises of God's word. Let God's promises become a prayer that confronts your problem. Do it with the power and authority of God's promise and word to you. And lastly, what specific request do you want to say to God Where do you just want to say, God, I need your help? With thanksgiving. Present your requests with thanksgiving. Be anxious for nothing. Begins not when our circumstances change, but when our attitude towards them does. It begins by turning to God in prayer, not giving in to despair. I write down the specific requests in my prayer journal. That helps me remember them, but it also builds my faith when I see all the prayers that God has answered over the last several months. And now, because in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, you have presented your requests to God. Now, when you do that, you can have a peace, a calmness of God that transcends all understanding and will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Where do you just need to say to him, kind of like my son Micah, help, help, I need help. But if you could see the whole picture, you're about to come flowing right into your Father's arms. And he's going to flip the tube back over, and he's going to scoop you up and set you right back where you need to be. He's near. Even now, you can say, help, help. I need help. And trust in his nearness. The Lord is near. God called himself Emmanuel, which means God with us. In fact, he became flesh and dwelt among us. He took on our sin. He took on the dark forces that aligned against us. He took on the grave and defeated death. And he's still with us through the presence of his Holy Spirit. In fact, I'm working on a series on the Holy Spirit that we're going to be doing in 2019. God is still with us. He is present through the power of his word and his Holy Spirit to comfort us and teach us and to deliver us and to convict us and to encourage us and to empower us and to set us free and to guide us and to lead us. As the psalm says, the Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? When I look at the cross and the resurrection, I can't help but think of Micah in that river this summer, in that deep creek, saying, help, help, I need help. Because he was going down powerless against the current. Only now, it's me who's crying out to my Father, help, help, I need help. And I'm going down powerless against the currents of fear and anxiety of sin. And just then, I feel the strength of my Father who scoops me up and saves me. And like the guy watching me spring into action for Micah, I can't help but look up at God and all that he has done to save me and say to him, nice save, Dad. He's near. He's near. Even before you know your trouble, he's standing in the water ready to meet you, to scoop you up. And because of that, we can be gentle and we can be calm and we can be anxious for nothing. We're going to come in a moment to the Lord's table, to communion, because he's so near. If you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, you can do that in a moment. I'll give you that opportunity. On the night that he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus Christ gathered some of his disciples, and he broke a loaf of bread and he said, this is my body which is broken for you. As often as you eat this, do this in remembrance of me. And what are we remembering? We're remembering that he's near. We're remembering that his body has been broken so that we could be made whole. We're remembering that he took on our sin so that we could be set free of it. We're remembering that God's word took on flesh, that he became Emmanuel, God with us. Likewise, after supper, he took a cup of wine, and he said, this is the cup of the new covenant that I'm establishing based upon the shedding of my blood. As often as you drink it, do this in remembrance of me. And so we're going to pray before we come to this table. So let's pray. God, thank you for being God Emmanuel, God who is with us and near. If you've never said yes to Jesus, you can do that now. Whether you're listening on the podcast, whether you're seeing it through the website, whether you're on the north side or south side, You just say, God, that's what I want. I want you to not only be near, I want you to be my Lord and Savior, and I want to follow you all the days of my life. I turn from my sin and rebellion, and I want to step into the good future that you have for me based upon your word and your promises. So forgive me of my sin and give me a new nature. Save me. But don't just save me. Free me to be the man or woman that you've created me to be. Let me walk in faith and courage and love and hope and humility and gentleness, being anxious for nothing, for you are near. The ushers can go ahead and come as they come. If you're a follower of Christ, whether you just gave your life to Christ or you have before, you're welcome at this table. You can take the cracker, remembering what Christ has done. The juice as well, set the empty cup back in the container as you do that. And may you experience God's peace as you commune with Him. And would you lead us?